John was a sign of spiritual blindness. He talks about Jesus being the light of the world, and Jesus tells Nicodemus further down in that chapter that people prefer the darkness where their deeds are not seen. And I wonder how Nicodemus even came to see Jesus. Yes, he had observed some things about Jesus, but rather than being frightened by them, he was intrigued by them. He wasn't ready to judge them yet. He needed more information. And he came to declare to Jesus his belief that Jesus indeed was from God. And I can see that if you listen to him, he had a hard time putting what he had seen and heard and experienced into words. And any of us who have tried to explain any experience of faith or the divine understand that difficulty. But why did Nicodemus come at all? And I wonder, did the Spirit bring him? I think that if this story were in Luke, he would have started out by saying, "And the Spirit brought Nicodemus to Jesus by night." But this is not Luke. Nicodemus, I am sure, had to think long and hard before deciding to go and meet Jesus. He had to humble himself, as one does when acknowledging that you don't know everything about anything. He had to come with the humility of one who had something to learn, and in this case, a matter of faith. And for a teacher of the law, an authority of the faith, that had to be awfully hard for Nicodemus to admit. For you know, it's true of all of us, that the more knowledgeable we think we are, the less apt we are open to being taught. We don't consider ourselves needing to be teachable. And yet, Nicodemus obviously came to learn because he had questions, and not challenging, like, "I want to trip you up" questions. Not to prove Jesus wrong or misguided or uninformed, but actual curiosity questions. And I wonder how Nicodemus was after this encounter. John doesn't really tell us. It just kind of abruptly ends, which actually makes Tom's portrayal this morning pretty accurate, according to John. Wondering if what he has heard could have long-term, if not eternal, implications. Because it's clear that Nicodemus does not understand all that Jesus is telling him. He's having a hard time going where Jesus is trying to lead him. For Jesus is taking him to that place beyond the logic and the reason of the law, to that place where one believes without fully understanding, where one trusts when logic and reason fail to provide answers. Being born of the Spirit? What does that mean? There's nothing in the law or the prophets about being born again or born from above. How can this be true? And yet, in spite of his doubts, Nicodemus doesn't walk out and he doesn't reject it outright, which really says a lot about Nicodemus. He knows that Jesus is from God, and thus he deserves to explain himself. Although the explanation is not that much clearer for Nicodemus, he still listens, hoping to have something familiar, something he can hold on to, something that sounds like what he has known and what he has been teaching all his life. He wants to find meaning, and that's why he still keeps asking questions. Every time I hear the telling of this meeting with Jesus, I am reminded of everything I do not understand about my faith, about God, about how and where the Spirit moves. And the older I get, the more of those there are. You would think it would be the other way around. But this meeting takes me back to those moments in my own life where logic and reason failed me. Innocents who suffer, the loneliness and feelings of abandonment, the deep grief without any explanation, Those moments when the cliches just don't work. For there are things that are bigger than we can handle on our own. There are those things that don't fit into any logical answer of the universe. But this is also true for moments of undeserved love and joy. You know, it's funny how we never ask God, why me, in those times. And there are those times of clarity, decision, calling, when we don't know the reason or how we came to be in that circumstance, but somehow we know it's of God, in the same way that Nicodemus knew that Jesus was of God. When I'm asked, an example of this is when I'm often asked, how did you end up in New Mexico from Cincinnati? And the truest but least clear explanation is that this is where the Holy Spirit brought me. Now, you all kind of nod and have some understanding of that, but you know, a lot of the world will, that's when you get the eye rolls and the huh. And I also often get the question of how did I come to become a minister? And I always want to say, well, because God had a sense of humor. But I also feel like this is where the Spirit has led me. And when I give these kinds of answers, there's something in me that also feels compelled to give a more reasoned and logical explanation about how I ended up in New Mexico as opposed to New York City. But the truth really lies here in those words of Jesus that I shared with the kids. The Spirit blows where it will. How often has that been the real answer for our journey in life? It's where the Spirit blew us. It's how the Spirit moved us. The Spirit blows where it will. What do we do in those moments when the logic and reason we rely on for our daily living, which we do, you know, it gets us through each day, from what we decide to eat or wear to how we decide to spend our time to what gets us through the day in terms of our job or what job we have or what college major we decide on? What do we do, though, in those moments when the logic and reason we depend on fails us? And we're left, like Nicodemus, without any clear answers. Can we make that leap beyond reason to trust in what we cannot see? To have confidence without fully understanding? And that's what Jesus is asking of Nicodemus. Being born of the Spirit is about allowing the Spirit to lead you, trusting that you are being led from darkness, however comfortable that might be, into light. From despair into hope. From pain into healing. Now, none of these, according to Jesus, require us to know and fully understand. But it does mean that we have to start by owning those infamous words from John 3:16. And if you didn't know them from the Bible, you might have known them from sports arenas. Words that many of us can say by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. And depending on when you grew up will depend on what translation you remember. But even in that beautiful verse, the gospel in miniature, in a nutshell, there's a pitfall. And it's a very human pitfall, and it's where you put your emphasis on this verse. Is this verse about God, or is it about us? Now, I would contend that this verse is about God. And those of you who taught English, you should agree with me, because God is the subject of the sentence. It's God's love for the world and everyone in it, and God's willingness to give his only son so that we might inherit eternal life. It would seem in that verse, God is doing the heavy lifting. The step into faith when nothing makes sense, when you're getting what you do not deserve, either wonderful or tragic, is the step we take knowing that verse, that God loves the world so much, and what God did so that no one would ever be separated from that love. Now, we've tried to take this verse and turn it around and make it a requirement for eternal life to somehow put the onus back on us. Well, Jesus said in it that it's a declaration of what God is doing and has been doing out of love through Jesus Christ to ensure that the whole world has eternal life. The center action of this verse comes from God, whether you read it in English or Greek, not from us. It's not about us. And thus, it's not dependent upon us. Now, here's some more wondering for me in this passage. I wonder, what if Nicodemus went home that night already having been reborn of the Spirit without even knowing it? What if it was the Spirit who brought him to Jesus in the first place, without him even knowing it? As Nick in our interview pointed out, Jesus gave him plenty to think about and to pray about. I wonder if he thought about those words the next time he experienced unspeakable pain or deep joy that he knew he did not deserve. Those things for which there is no logical explanation. Only the indescribable love of God. And then, if he did remember those words, was that yet another moment of rebirth for him? As people of the Reformed tradition, which we are, in case you didn't know, we are fond of saying that we are Reformed and always reforming. It's that piece that we tend to forget because that means we're changing, and change is not a good word for us. But it means that God, as he continues to be revealed to us, we continue to also be reformed to greater faithfulness. We are reborn of the Spirit. Perhaps an ancillary to that is that we are reborn and always being reborn. The Spirit is always leading us to new places, bringing us in contact with people and situations we never would have found on our own. And each time we have the opportunity to be born from above. For myself, I know that the birth of my two sons and later my grandson brought me such joy that I knew I did not deserve. I hadn't done anything to earn that. It was, and it still for me is beyond the ability to explain my feeling about that. And I also know that God did not bring suffering to my grandson and my family because of something we had done for some reason. The God and I love and serve doesn't work that way. So there isn't some reason for that. This part of my life journey is certainly one right now that goes beyond logic and reason, I must confess. The rules and laws of nature, the way things are supposed to work, my friends. But I know that the Spirit has brought people and situations and words and places in the midst of all of that that tell me again and again of the depths of God's love for me and for my family and for all of you. I've seen it, I've heard it, I've experienced it, even though I cannot fully explain it. So as our interviewer said, I'm not sure I can preach on it. And I've been reborn each time. The one hint we get that Nicodemus was reborn, if not that night, perhaps in the time that follows, comes later in the Gospel of John, after Jesus has died. That's where the only other time Nicodemus is even mentioned. This time Nicodemus is there by the light of day, or perhaps more like the twilight, depending on how all that really historically worked out in terms of the time of day. But he and Joseph of Arimathea saw that our Savior had a proper burial. He had to have been seen by those who crucified him, his colleagues in the Sanhedrin, the ones who did it, they had to have seen it. But now he boldly steps forward to care for the man who showed him the path to God's love and eternal life. Perhaps remembering that night and saying to himself, "For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world." Amen. Join me, stand and as you are comfortable, and join me in singing hymn number 45, "In Glory to God." It is a musical rendition of the psalm we heard, "I to the hills will lift my eyes."